Morning, everyone. The meeting of the House Special Committee on All Gas is called to order at 10:05 on March 21st, 1995. For the record, committee members present are Representative Betty Davis, Representative Gary Davis, Representative Scott Ogan, Representative Tom Bryce, and the Chairman, Representative Norman Nordberg. A quorum is present. On today's calendar, we have House Bill 207, Royalty Reductions. I believe we are on teleconference with Anchorage. Is that correct? Okay. For the purposes of discussion, a committee substitute was adopted at our last meeting on Monday, March 20th, 1995. A new draft has been prepared that removes Section 1 dealing with the royalty reductions for net profit leases. There had been no testimony at this time that would justify that, and there's been requests that that be removed from the bill at this time. In addition, after our discussions yesterday, the regulatory language has been removed, as was recommended by, I believe, the overwhelming sense of the committee. The language dealing with the appeals by the applicant has been removed based on the testimony primarily from Attorney General Patrick Coughlin. And the testimony by Director Boyd, and then the language restricting the enactment of regulations has been removed, which revolves around the entire issue of the relationship of the statute to the regulations. Now that we have a new document available, the committee should rescind the motion adopting work draft CH-C. Dated 3/20/95. If there are any objections to rescinding our motion, are there any objections to this motion?
Right. Could you repeat that, sir? I'm sorry.
Okay, we're going to rescind.
Still my last committee.
We're rescinding the committee substitute we had yesterday.
Just haven't shifted quite.
Okay, right. Yeah. Put it in low. Put it in low and four-wheel drive.
I'm in low on gas now.
Four-wheel drive. Okay.
Okay, now where am I?
We are rescinding the committee substitute from yesterday.
What's under here?
Oh, committee substitute.
Yeah. Are there any objections to this motion?
I'll object for the sake of discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
No, he just need to adopt the new one.
Yeah, that's why I was just going to move to adopt the new one for new work draft 9CHO-039-1.
Thank you. I'm in this committee now.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Ogan. And we have a motion by Representative Gary Davis. Are there any objections to that motion? That we accept draft 9CHO-039-F for discussion purposes. There are no objections, hearing none. Then the new committee substitute for House Bill 207 is now before the committee for discussion. Is there anyone here that wishes to testify on the committee substitute for House Bill 207? There are, I would ask, there are four people in Anchorage that wish to testify and on the teleconference, and then Commissioner Shively is also here. Mr. Commissioner, would you prefer to hear the Anchorage testimony first? Okay. In that case, we will proceed with the teleconference testimony. And please indicate your name and telephone number and the affiliation for testimony. First, we'd like to hear from Tom Williams.
Chairman, my name is Tom Williams. I'm with DP Exploration Alaska Incorporated. My telephone number in Anchorage is 564-5955. I put down to testify if there were questions that you had of BEP, but otherwise I don't really have a statement to make today, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Williams, might I ask if you had an opportunity to review the latest committee substitute, which just was faxed north about within the last hour or so.
We just got it up here, and I have had a chance to look at it very briefly, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, you do have it in hand in that room, though. That's
yes,
good.
We do.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you, Mr. Williams, for standing by. If questions do develop, we'll directed towards you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Next is Bradley Penn. Mr. Penn?
My name is Bradley Penn. I work for Marathon Petroleum.
568, phone number 564-6428. I'd like Mr. Williams, don't have any comments, probably having 5 minutes of review of this latest draft. My comments that I had prepared were on draft C, and those concerns seem to have been taken care of in draft F. That's all I have to say.
Well, thank you, Mr. Penn. Next, we could like to hear from Kevin Tabler, please.
Yeah, my name is Kevin Tabler. I'm with Union Oil Company in California, P.O. Box 196247, Anchorage, phone number 263-7600. And like the other members in this room, I just had a chance to briefly look at it, and it appears that the questions and concerns that were actually statements or comments that I would have had have been addressed in this most recent draft. Yeah. Would like to say that I appreciate the work that's been put into this and the committee's efforts to address the concerns of UNICAP, in particular the 2 points that we raised. We'll stand by for any questions you may have of myself as well.
Thank you, Mr. Tabler. Next, there is Stephen Mahoney.
I do have a very short statement, Mr. Chairman. My name is Steve Mahoney. I'm the managing tax counsel at ARCO Alaska in Anchorage. We'd first like to say that we're impressed with the progress of the hearing last night and the extensive efforts of the committee to understand these complex and important issues. Based on the results of the hearing and what I see in Amendment F, CFHB, we believe we're making progress towards the CS that ARCO can support. Specifically, we agree with removing the regulatory language from the bill itself. ARCO believes still that there is no necessary or particular necessity of any oversight over the commissioner. But if the committee so desires, we would again suggest that the AG is sufficient to oversee what's going on, and with the concurrence, the commissioner could provide for royalty reductions as needed. One of the important parts that we've seen, that's of course not in the CS, is legislative intent expressing the need for, in the interest of the committee, in encouraging the cooperative development of the state's resources and sending a message to the industry that Alaska will be competitive and has a long-term eye towards the development of its vast resources. We support our fellow Cook Inlet producers in respect to the recognized needs for increasing flexibility in regard to existing marginal production, which again is in draft F. And before I go, I'd again like to reiterate ARCO's request that the intent expressed by this committee in both the preamble of the bill and any ancillary documents produced is essential to the success of this legislation. All too often, the legislature's intent is lost in the application of the details. If the committee's intent is to provide a level of flexibility to the development of its marginal resources, we encourage this committee to state that intent as clearly as possible to avoid any misinterpretation and application of your designs. Thank you very much for your work, and that's all I have to say today, except if questions arise.
Thank you, Mr. Mahoney. Are there any questions at this time for the people who have testified from the committee members? Hearing none, I'd ask Commissioner Shively to make his statement, please.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is John Shively. I'm Commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources. We would concur that the new draft does take care of some of the major concerns I believe that Patrick Coughlin and Ken Boyd raised last night. I would like to just raise several concerns, and I'm not sure that these absolutely have to be addressed at this time, but you might want to consider them. One, we think the legislative intent language might be a little too restrictive. I don't know that I can, that any commissioner could actually determine that decision would be based on the investment being made only if the reduction was granted. That's a high standard.
May I just interrupt you for a moment, sir? For the purpose of the committee members, there is some intent language here that has been circulated, but it's not part of the CS. Just so you're all aware of that. Then there was some revised language, too, that something we can discuss, but it has been moved. So I just want to make sure everybody was aware of that. Excuse me for interrupting you.
That's fine. Sorry. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, on page 2, lines 30 and 31, as I understand, the intent of that is that fields that might be shut in or abandoned, the royalty could actually go to zero. We have not supported that concept. And we think that the additional flexibility that this legislation gives in terms of looking at marginal fields and fields that might that are shut in or might be abandoned vastly improves the opportunity for royalty reduction, but we think the state should retain some opportunity for some income. We recognize that the existing legislation, as I think was pointed out by UNICAL last week, would allow the commissioner theoretically to get the zero, but the legislation doesn't work. So I don't. I think this that keeping it at the 25% for all three kinds of situations we think is reasonable. In terms of the oversight, we believe that one step oversight is better. I think our preference is on page 3 would be 8A, but I think one or the other, if you do two, it just adds to the process. The thing with the royalty board is that that will probably have, I'm not sure what you mean there. If it's a royalty board meeting, we're going to have to public notice it. It's another 30 days. If it's just going and finding three members of the royalty board to agree, I'm not sure that that's not unacceptable to us. But I think you ought to choose one or the other, and I think there's some difference of opinion even in the oil industry as which of those two are better. And then on page 4, we don't have strong feelings about the lines 7 through 21. We don't have strong feelings about transmitting copies of the determination to these officials. I think Representative Davis early on talked about providing notice of the decision, and then if people wanted the full document, they could ask for it. We think that's a reasonable approach, and we'd certainly be willing to provide notice to all members of the legislature at the same time as a way to simplify that. But, you know, that again, since it's the legislature, it's your call as to whatever you would like to see. Mr. Chairman, those are my comments.
Thank you, Commissioner Shively. Are there questions of the committee? Representative Davis.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, on the zero royalty, that's just an option, isn't it? Gives you have the flexibility within your negotiations to either go from zero to whatever. So, you know, as far as
you're correct.
Okay.
Yes, I could, or you know, any commissioner could refuse to go to zero. That is correct.
Okay. If I might continue on the, but. Of course, I can't help but comment on the distribution of documents. I agree that a notice that a report is available with an executive summary, and there will be intent language added to the agency paperwork legislation today or tomorrow that indicates the intent is to provide an executive summary in short detail as opposed to just a letter, this report is available. So I'll see what we can do to clean that up in here. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bryce.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple of questions. I had to pop out of the room there for a second. Mine covered. Page 3, lines 12 and 3, the confidentiality clause. Says shall be kept confidential under AS whatever upon the lessee's request. Is that going to require positive action by the lessee then, or can it just be kept confidential, period?
No, the way I would interpret that is that they will have to say this part of the information we're giving you is confidential. I mean, some parts of the information, the name of the company, where the name of the field, those kinds of things obviously aren't, I wouldn't think, certainly are going to be kept confidential, but there may be some part of their economic analysis or some part of their field development analysis that they would like to be kept confidential, and they will have to tell us, as I think is currently provided in regulations, what they want kept confidential. So it's a positive action by them.
For specific areas, okay.
Representative Byrd.
And further on down in sections, or further on down the page, on line 18, we have Section 7, which says, may require the lessee or lessees making application for the royalty reduction to retain and pay for the services of a contractor selected from a list provided by the commissioner. I know we're implying that it's the lessees who get to select from that list. I guess my concern is that we don't want it implicitly in there. I guess would you have problems making it a little bit clearer that it's the lessees that we're talking about that select from the list versus
Mr. Chairman, the Representative Rice, I have no problem in clarifying it if you think it needs to be, since that's the intent.
I just want to make sure that the intent's on record, too. And one last question. Under Section 8 on page 3, on line 28, obtains the concurrence of the Attorney General. Now, is the Attorney General going to be making policy decisions? Is that what the department's expecting, or is this just a process by which the Attorney General checks off to make sure that procedurally things have gone according to boil here?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Rice, I think it is primarily the latter, that the Attorney General would look at whether or not the processes laid out in the legislation had been followed by the commissioner. However, there's nothing in this legislation that would prevent the Attorney General, if he felt that part of the process was not carried out appropriately, to do further investigation into the merits of the decision.
Yes.
Representative Rice?
I think my concern lies in that when we're saying obtains the concurrence of the AG, is that it does give the AG veto power over the decision-making process. And maybe if we can think about, Mr. Chair, clarifying that a little bit to make sure that the AG's determination is based on the appropriate use of a process versus using that veto for a policy call by the AG. I think we want to make sure that that's clear and as well. Would that be something that...
Mr. Chairman, Representative Rice, since, of course, the administration's position was that we didn't want any review at all, anything that further constrains the review, we think it expedites the process, and therefore we would support.
Well, Representative Rice, I might preference on what level of review here or what
well,
concurrence
I think, yeah, well, actually, and we can do this when we're getting down to, you know, offering amendments and discussing that. But I would just say take out Section 8, period. We can discuss.
Representative David.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, since we're on that, I too have some real concern about the oversight. We've got the commissioner now is making the decision. So who's going to – if the AG and the commissioner work for the same person, so there's – kind of cut and dry how a majority of those decisions will come out a lot of times.
Well.
So but I think the biggest question there is the technical nature of the data. I mean, who in the AG's office? Nobody in the AG's office has the expertise to properly analyze the data. So they would have to contract or question someone else. So who would they question? So. Initially, they would probably go back to Division of Oil and Gas, who was involved in the first place. So that takes them out. So, you know, that's the dilemma. And I think the oversight is the legislature. We went through last year on major discussion and public debate on oversight and input into findings. And I think, you know, after all of that, you know, I came down to, you know, putting the technical data and the recommendation of the commissioner as final on that, other than you always have the legislature and you always have special interest groups that are there to continually bird dog and watch the process. So you always have those to fall back on.
And And to follow up on that, you know, I think that's why we want to make it very clear that we're going to keep the Attorney General in, that it's clear that he's addressing a process by which the commissioner came to a decision, not the economics the commissioner takes into account, nor the various other aspects. So the necessary redundancy that would otherwise be, or the redundancy that would otherwise be necessary in you know, in expertise on the decision-making process is not there.
I'd like to just say maybe we can to move along
yeah,
here.
Exactly. We'll talk about
yeah,
this later.
And I really think that what we need to keep in mind here is what's been by one wag referred to as the evil commissioner theory, and then my concerns raised in some other further testimony about, from the one hand, the skullduggery, to the other hand, the stupid decision. And that's what we're really talking about. I think that's what you agree, is what you're saying, Representative Bryce, is that we're just really viewing the process here and to see if these extremes have been exceeded.
Well, or to make sure that, you know, the steps to acquire, number one, to acquire the information necessary to make the decision, the steps necessary to make the decision have been followed. And that's appropriate, not that X plus Y equals Z, and therefore the determination's appropriate.
Right, I think that was the officer's intent. Representative Finkelstein.
Now, Mr. Chairman, just I think an alternative we ought to consider, and I don't want to really convey it now, is just as a compromise to eliminate the reference to the Attorney General and to make it go to the Royalty Oil and Gas Board only when there's an appeal. Not make it mandatory that it go before them every time for, but if there's an appeal, then it goes before them, and if not, the decision of the commissioner stands.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Logan.
May I comment on that? I think the whole idea of having the oversight is not for an appeal process, but as a check and balance process.
Thank you. Mr. Shively, do you want to continue on anything, or are we going to ask you questions?
Mr. Chairman, I'm through with my...
Oh, okay. Representative Finkelstein.
Mr. Chairman, I apologize for being late. Commissioner, could you just say in a few words the problems that you had, if any, with your review here? Yeah, I know the subject, if you just mentioned the...
We, of course, have not supported having the royalty be able to go to zero for shut-in or fields or fields that might be abandoned. We think one review process is enough, that we don't need two. We suggested a notice of the decision to the legislature, all the legislature, but, I mean, that's whatever the legislature wants in that section. We will do. And then I had a comment about the legislative intent. We felt it was a standard that we couldn't necessarily meet, to say that we'd have to know that they wouldn't make the additional investment before we would reduce the royalty. I think those were the comments I made.
Commissioner, if you could indulge me, if we could go to page 2, subsection 3 there. I'd like to review that in the light of the public hearing to make sure we have a complete understanding of what this language means. And it starts on line 16, which says the commissioner shall... Oh, incidentally, I want to go back to line 12 for the record, where the we had earlier discussions about the may not grant a royalty reduction, et cetera, unless they make a clear and convincing showing. It's my understanding that the method of drafting statutory language in Alaska prohibits the use of shall, so we left may not. I mean, that was just for your information, because we had some further discussions about this historically. I mean, in the past week or so. Just to go on, though, but to go to line 16, says shall, if the royalty reduction agreement is approved, in the royalty reduction agreement, condition a royalty reduction granted under this subsection in any way necessary to protect the state's best interest. Under the subsection, the commissioner shall include provisions to increase or otherwise modify the state's royalty share by sliding scale royalty or other mechanism upon the occurrence of a change in the price of oil and gas. To focus on line 23, the word shall there and may, have you considered this with advice of counsel or the effect of the way this language is put together, or have you had a chance to do that as yet?
Well, I haven't because I just got it. I mean, okay. I think it's certainly an improvement over the previous substitute. I think it allows more flexibility than we felt the previous committee substitute. It gives us the idea of some things you think are relevant to consider, allows us the flexibility to consider other things, which we felt was important, that whenever you try to list things, I mean, you can never list everything, and so we think that's good. And
I'm concerned specifically, Commissioner, about the mandate here as I read it, that in your original bargain or your agreement with the applicant, you would have to have some kind of provision for an oil price or some kind of provision or trigger mechanism in the event there were a major price increase or something.
Well,
in my understanding of the language is that you would have to bargain a deal up front. You couldn't come in there unilaterally with a reopener later, but you could have a reopener clause inside the original agreement.
Yeah.
And I think that overcame some of the fears that some people had about just having like a unilateral right to reopen later downstream. That's why I want to talk about it, make sure we're all on the same page or same track here with that. Because there's a distinction here between whether you should require it, whether we're going to require that or we should give you a suggestion that you should look at it. I mean, that's the difference.
Mr. Chairman, it certainly was never our intent that the commissioner would have the unilateral right to call up an oil company that got a royalty reduction say, well, tomorrow your royalty is going up. Conceptually, I don't have a problem with what you're doing here, saying that there has to be a sliding scale or some other mechanism, and the sliding scale may not be appropriate, so that the state, if there is a positive change in the price of oil or in the volume of the field, which are certainly two of the things that are most easily looked at, that the state gets an increase. That's always been part of our concept. So I don't have a problem with the intent, and I'm going to have to talk to Patrick about the actual language, but certainly the intent is precisely as we have stated it on the record.
Representative Finkelstein.
Just, I missed something there. The two factors, price of oil and volume, is that what you said?
Those are two factors. They're not the only two.
Right, those are the two top ones.
Those are the two most easily measured.
Has it on line 26, 27, it says that upon the occurrence of a change in the price of oil and gas, it sort of picks that out as the one and only one that the royal sliding scale will be based on.
Well,
no, the intent, excuse me, Representative Klein, is that would be, that's dictated. The other ones may be considered in any kind of formulation you'd want to do.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the sentence, you're certainly right about the intent, but it's confusing because the sentence starts off not talking about sliding scale royalty, but the initial sentence is shall include provisions to increase or otherwise modify, et cetera, the very general stuff. And I tend to see and may consider other relevant factors applying to that. The little piece in here, which is, we can tell because it's separated by commas, is the reference to royalty share upon the occurrence of a change in the price of oil and gas, comma. And so we may want to ask the bill drafter about that, because I would take the rest of it after the comma, referring back to the beginning, which isn't sliding scale royalty, it's just shall include provisions.
Well, yeah, let's pursue that in a moment, but I wanted to get a focus on the line 23, the commissioner shall include provisions. That's, you know, we could change that to May, and then it would give you more flexibility. That's a policy decision that we need to make as a committee, I think, about whether we want to dictate the commissioner shall include that provision in there, or allow them to have the flexibility to do that. Is that how you see it, Mr. Commissioner, or?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I mean, if the intent here is to both, I mean, sort of take care of two interests, the one, the concern that will that the commissioner would only go down and would forget about what might happen if it could go up on one side, and on the other side of the equation, if there was concern, as was expressed by UNICAL, that the commissioner could come in unilaterally and just raise it, that this language takes care of those two concerns, then I don't have a problem with it. I think we may want to fiddle a little bit with the wording, but conceptually, I do not have a problem with what you're doing.
We're going to ask Mr. Chenoweth to advise us on this right now if we want to talk about this. Would that, do you want to do
I
that?
I don't know if we need to do that. I think here the intent's clear. It's just language reflected. The language may well reflect what you're saying.
Actually, what I was trying to elicit from the commissioner, and I know it's tough here in a short review with no input, but if you'd prefer to put the word may there rather than shall on line 23.
Well, of course, commissioners always prefer may over shall.
Okay.
But
okay, just so we have that record, that's what I was looking for. All right. Okay, is there any other questions of the commissioner at this time? President Finkelstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just some quick things, if you've visited before, but to see if you kind of heard the thoughts of them. You, at this point, don't have any concerns about the companies hiring and employing the contractor. That's acceptable to you. They won't work for you, they'll work for the other company.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Finkelstein, no, we think that that's an established, as long as we control who those initial, which company is going on that initial list, we do not have a problem. Since we get to choose those, so we therefore do not have a problem.
The second thing was, about the idea that came up previously that if a certain amount of production or if the development doesn't occur within a certain amount of years, the royalty reverts back to the original level, sort of performance criteria, that you only get this if you actually do something and you don't get it as sort of a speculative venture. Would you have any interest in something like that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Finkelstein, if we take care of the upside of field size and oil price in the agreement, which we're being mandated to do presently, I don't really have a concern about that. On the other hand, if the committee feels that there should be a time frame, I don't know that we would oppose it. I don't think we feel that it's necessary.
Mr. Reverend Finkelstein, I think what that issue would be is just another relevant factor here. It's the level of importance we want to rise up to stick in here. As we heard Director Boyd say yesterday, you could have 100 things on this laundry. I expect that the author's desire here was to make sure that these other three factors were taken into consideration as a more or less statutory reminder to the condition to the commission. So I'm not sure what he's saying is, and correct me if I'm wrong, sir, if that's something you'd consider, but you don't think it's necessary to put in the bill.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and clearly we could do it under the current language. I mean, we could condition the royalty reduction on them going into production in a certain amount of time.
Mr. Chairman, the
Representative Finkelstein.
The other one I had was, and this came up, we discussed it previously, the idea of keeping some criterion law other than being in the state's best interest, which is now basically in the intent. Or is it an amendment that's going to be considered? But it's to put in some words back in, such as maximum possible economic return possible under the circumstances, something that refers to the kind of things you've always described as what your decision would be based on, maximizing state returns in the long run rather than just in 1 year.
Mr. Chairman, again, the difficulty with that is defining what maximizing return is. That's the problem I have with that. And because there are other potential reasons in a best interest finding, other than for that particular field, maximizing the state's economic interest. It may have to do with how much oil we want in the pipeline, how it relates to other production facilities that might be shut in. There are a variety of other things in a best interest finding that could have you keep a field operating, particularly at the end of its life, or even bringing a marginal field on, that don't necessarily tie to maximizing the state's economic benefits on that one field. So I think it's limiting, and therefore I just don't think it would work well.
Chairman, one last one.
Representative Finkelstein.
We had a discussion before, and you said you didn't support the general concept of a sunset provision. But what about a sunset that just covered, like sunset of 5 years, only for future leases that are sold? All the provisions stay in effect for existing leases, but if you sell some in the future after that, unless this provision was extended, it wouldn't apply to them. Then the arguments that you had that you want to give 5 years is too short a period to give people the chance to come in and take advantage of the provisions and to build their plans on these provisions and the lease being there permanently, that concern wouldn't be there because it would be there permanently for any existing leases. But leases you sell beyond that would only be subject to it if the provision is extended.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Finkelstein, we've had royalty reduction statutes on the books in the state since 1959, something when you and I discussed this some time ago I was unaware of. That legislation has been changed a variety of times over the years, as I suspect this legislation, if it passes, will someday be changed. As we try to meet current conditions or find problems with the legislation, as we did with the previous with the current law that just make it very difficult to operate. So I think it's still our preference that we not have a sunset. Well, I know it's still our preference that we not have a sunset. On the other hand, a sunset, for some leases or all part of it, I don't think it's something that we would say we're going to veto the bill over. But to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Thank you, Chair. And Representative Finkelstein, the chair observes that the fact that you would add this to a future lease and then put a sunset in that, when we have a 10-year lease provision development time frame, plus we have testimony to the record, it's going to take at least 6 years to turn around any decision now that would be based on this particular new statute before there's any proven level of production to predict its efficacy, if you will. So we could look at a huge 16-year time frame, possibly. So to put a sunset law, that was one of the problems that I think we heard in testimony that it obviates the need for the sunset provision. Plus, I have every confidence that this committee will do such a good job here on this bill that we won't need to change.
Mr. Chairman, I think you're right, and I was trying to find a compromise that because the existing leases are the biggest portion of what's going on. I mean, if you keep it applied to them forever, you only sunset it for future leases, that's just a tiny percent of what's going to happen.
Okay. Is there any other questions of the commissioner at this time?
Mr. Chairman, on the subject of a floor having a not going to zero royalties, is your recommendation that it be 25%, 50%, or the original version, which had two different levels?
Well, the original version had two different I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, Representative Finkelstein. The original legislation had two different levels because it was geared to the permanent fund. The administration supported the concept proposed by the chairman to make it reduced to 25% of the existing royalty, with the implication that the permanent fund would get its appropriate share of whatever money the state got, and the remainder would go to the general fund. So we supported that. We have not supported allowing the royalty for abandoned fields or fields about to be shut in to go to zero, which is in the current legislation, even though that is something that theoretically could be done in existing law, if the existing law would work for those fields, which in my mind it doesn't.
Mr. Chairman, so the recommendation is 25% for all.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Finkelstein, yes.
Representative Hogan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Shively, on page 2, line 27, some verbiage there. It says that the whole end of that paragraph may consider other relevant factors through line 29. Now, is that going to limit you? Does this specific wordage limit you only to these factors, or should, would it be prudent to put in some language like and may consider but not limit to other relevant factors, or?
Well,
does this cover all the bases? I'm just going to tie your hands here.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Ogun, I think the word such as gives the flexibility to say this, these aren't the only criteria which I can or any future commissioner can use. Again, I haven't gone back over this section with our attorney, but and you do have your own attorney here who may want to comment on that, but my reading of this is that you did not intend to limit the number of the factors that a commissioner could consider, but you were giving him some hints of the ones you thought might be important.
Thank you, sir. Chairman, one more.
Representative Ogun.
On page 3, line 8, section A, says may not require disclosure of data relating to production before the lessee or lessees obtained ownership of the lease if the reduction application involves a lease described in 1B or 1C of the subsection. Now, is this, do you foresee any problem with this? Like, for example, they have some suddenly a lot of different leases change hands because it would be advantageous not to provide information of production before that person owned it. Sort of as a shell game kind of scenario.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Ogun, I mean, I don't know the answer to that question. I would say probably not. For one thing, for those leases in 1B or 1C, for the most part, I think the production data is going to be known because they will have reported it to the state. It's, I think where there was a problem with the Texaco situation, as I understand it, wasn't in, depending on how you define data relating to production, but the problem was in the expense side of it, that the new company could not go back and create the or get the records as to what had gone on, and we were requiring, which something we no longer require in this legislation, that we look at the return on investment of the whole field. So I don't really think that would be a problem.
Thank you, sir.
Very good. Any other questions of the commissioner at this point? Hearing none, I want to thank you very much, Commissioner, for this long and arduous ordeal and journey we've been on.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to thank you for all the time you've taken and all the work you've put in on this and the progress we've made. Thank you very much.
Appreciate that, sir. Excuse me. Jack, Ms. Chenoweth, could you come up here and try to help us out a little bit?
No, I'll probably do that.
Thank you, Mr. Would you please identify yourself, sir?
Jack Chenoweth from the Legal Services Division.
Thank you, sir. I just want to make sure the committee understands this and the chairman understands the language as found in on page 2, line 16 down through 29 there as it relates to the requirements of the commissioner to include or discretionarily include certain provisions in his finding or his agreement, if you will. Could you, as this bill is written now, on that section 3 there, starting in 16, could you explain what the impact of the shall versus may language is, or what it says? Why don't you explain what it is now?
Well, I guess I would encourage the committee to give a little bit more attention to this thing and try to refine it. The first part, beginning on line 16, requires the commissioner to condition the royalty reduction granted under J in any way necessary to protect the state's best interests. It's a mandatory duty, and there's no discretion involved in that. He's got to at least consider and make an educated decision as to how to do that to protect the state's best interests. And I don't have any problem with the way that's drafted. It seems to me that it's clear enough. beginning then on line 22 after that semicolon with the words under this subsection and on down, I think we ought to try to be a little bit clearer. It seems to me that there are three problems here. First, your question about whether the commissioner shall include provisions to increase or otherwise modify, or whether that should be, whether the commissioner's authority should be, discretion should be broadened under, by substituting the word may. That's a choice the committee will have to make. It is a policy call. It's drafted as shall at this point in time. You may want to think about changing it. The second is this phrase, to increase or otherwise modify the state's royalty share by a sliding scale royalty or other mechanism upon the occurrence of a change in the price of oil or gas. The operative event is a change in the price of oil or gas, and I assume that we're talking about it could go up, it could go down. If we're concerned about either of those opportunities, either of those situations, then I'm not sure that we need to retain the word to increase or otherwise, the words increase or otherwise. It seems to me that if you're going to give the commissioner this authority, it is enough to say the commissioner shall include provisions to modify the state's royalty share by a sliding scale royalty or other mechanism upon the occurrence of a change in the price of oil or gas. That way there's no presumption that it's going to go in any one direction. If, however, you were concerned about the fact that this thing ought to increase when the price of oil or gas increases, then, and that is the law now, talks about an increase in the price of oil or gas, we've bracketed that word increase, then I suppose it's wise to keep the word increase, and I'm not sure what the or otherwise modify, what circumstances you're trying to cover there. I mean, it seems to me that this sliding scale thing is going to go up or down, and that's all it's going to do. It's going to increase or decrease. So it seems to me we ought to try to make the construction of this phrase parallel within itself, and avoid things that may give rise to questions at a later date. Finally, on line 27, the way this is drafted, the words, and may consider other relevant factors, my question to you in the memo was, for what reason, for what purpose? If you're requiring the commissioner to impose or include something that says that provisions are there to increase or otherwise modify the state's royalty share when the price of oil or gas changes, what purpose do you have in mind when you ask him to, or when you authorize him to consider other relevant factors? What are you getting at? And my suggestion in the memo was, do you want to give him the additional authority to change the royalty share to do the state when some of these other factors come into play, proven reserves, well productivity, capital investment in the oil or gas field pool, and so forth and so on? Is that what you have in mind?
Yes.
All right. Then it seems to me we need to straighten that out. We need to make these two halves, the commissioner shall include provisions and the may consider provisions, work toward that end. That is to say, he will have the duty to include provisions that change the royalty share upon the occurrence of a change in the price of oil, and in addition to that, he has the authority, the discretionary authority, to change the sliding scale or other mechanism, taking into consideration other relevant factors such as proved reserves, well productivity, or capital investment. To the question earlier about, I think it was Representative Bryce's question, do we need to substitute included or included but not limited to for the such as? You could substitute including proved reserves, but such as, I think, as the commissioner indicated, is sufficient to give notice that these are examples of the kinds of things that the commissioner ought to take into consideration when he exercises authority in this discretionary grant. So I think we need to try to define that. I'm no expert in this. I'm there may be reasons why it's drafted the way it is, but from somebody trying to figure out what is this trying to do, I would suggest that those three points deserve your attention.
Well, Mr. General, I know it's a short notice here and so forth and an understanding level here, but would you have any recommendations that we could consider there to do that?
Well, you've mentioned the shall or may on line 23. That's a policy call, and
right.
You've had that discussion.
Right, right.
And I've mentioned that if you're going to give the commissioner the opportunity to move the royalty share on a sliding scale or other mechanism as the price of oil or gas changes, then I'm not sure that you want to include the words increase or otherwise. It may be enough to say the commissioner shall or may include provisions to modify the state's royalty share by a sliding scale royalty or other mechanism upon the occurrence of a change in the price of oil or gas.
Well, I think, as I recall, I think it was in the governor's language, it was in the prior statute, and also as a reminder to the commissioner that that's what he has to do. But I don't, because I agree with what you're saying, but you know, it's a
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Ogun.
On that point, sir, what would you say would be the, in the best interest of the state in that situation? Mm-hmm.
That's the, excuse me, Representative Ogun, if I might interject, that's a whole different topic, if you will.
Well, no, I think...
I mean, what's...
My point would be, I think it'd be, I guess, it, you know, with all due respect to my oil company friends, they're getting a price break here to go into this field. Now, I don't, I feel that people need to take a certain amount of, I mean, obviously the oil companies take a certain amount of risk to, as all business people do, to exploit a resource. And I just feel like if we're willing to make compromises to make the risk a little bit more palatable, shall we say, that if the price goes down, that's the risk they take with all their oil fields. If the price goes up, we've already compromised the price, so I wonder if we shouldn't consider just the idea. I think if we've already adjusted it down, if we need to readjust it, it's probably up.
Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the way to solve the problems we've got on these items here is a shallower. We could pick either one. I think it's a shallower. The point that Representative Ogun's making is a good one, but the point that Jack was making is basically just a English kind of construction thing, and it'll be covered either way, and I don't think we should worry about too much either way. He's basically said it works the same no matter whether we leave in the words increase or not, but I would agree with the point Representative Ogun made just for the intent. And when it gets to the final thing, I think we should say in the price of oil, gas, or other relevant factors such as proved reserves or something like that, so that the comma and may consider, which seems to take these other things and put them onto some B list instead of an A list, they'd at least all be on the A list.
Mr. Chandler, can you care to comment on that last statement? Or?
There are many ways to address this, and I don't know enough about what it is that prompted the point. The observation that this came from the administration's bill is correct. The original bill on its line 23 talked in terms of the commissioner may condition a royalty reduction granted under this subsection in any way necessary to protect the state's best interests, including, and in their words, increasing or otherwise modifying the state's royalty share and so forth and so on. I don't know what they had, why they distinguished between increasing and otherwise modifying. If there's a reason to do that, if there's good reason to do that, fine, then leave it. If not, I suppose that the construction here ought to do what this committee feels ought to be done. If you want the commissioner to have flexibility to move this royalty share or other mechanism or make the changes in the royalty share or other mechanism as the price of oil goes up and down, then it's enough, it seems to me, to just say modify without the word, without the predisposition word increase. If you want this to somehow move, give notice that this thing, that this price may go back up. If the price of oil or gas increases, then we're going to have to do some fiddling around here. I just point out to you that this is not as clear as it could be in terms of trying to tell the commissioner how to structure this provision that is to be included to make it work. And I think it's both in the interests of the department and in the interests of the producers who may look for this thing to have clarity on this point so there's no stumbling around on it later on.
Thank you, sir. If I might ask you, the substance wouldn't change with the language. The fiddling you refer to is more of a matter of clarity, though. Is that correct?
That's right.
And if I might ask the commissioner, do you have any knowledge about why that language was in there initially about the increase or otherwise modify, if you might want to just interject that here, or you have an idea on that?
Mr. Chairman, John Shively, for the record, I believe the reason that the increasing or otherwise modifying was there are some things you can do that are other than just increasing the state royalty. For instance, some kind of net profits would be a modification that wouldn't be necessarily an increase in the royalty. There might be others, and of course I'm not a real expert in this field, but it's my recollection that's why the language was written the way it was, to give us flexibility to get the state's share up by doing things other than just.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. Any other questions on this point? Mr. Chairman, in your memorandum, you indicated that when we removed the regulatory language, there was two items, one of which was the requirement for written findings, and another one for the applicant to make an application, which were removed by the latest CS draft that you did. And I just want to thank you for all your efforts there on that. I think at this point it's my contention that these are implicit in there, or do you think it's necessary, or would you recommend as a matter of drafting to reinsert somewhere in here those provisions?
It would probably be necessary if we had left this bill as it had been in the previous version, that is to say without leaving the commissioner regulatory authority. Right. But at this point, if the commissioner is clear on the fact that both written findings are expected and that this is an application process, that is to say that the lessee or lessees initiate this process, then I think that it's perfectly in order for the department to draft their regulations, their procedural regulations, or amend their procedural regulations to pick up on those points. The fact is the legislature expects an application to be forthcoming, and at the other end that there be a written findings and determination.
But there are, just for my own clarification and those of the committee here, there are existing regulations that go through this royalty reduction application procedure there are now. Is it my understanding that if we pass this bill as drafted now, that only those portions of the regulations would be affected, and the existing regulations would stay whole, if you will, but only be affected by stipulated portions of or specific portions of this bill?
Provisions of the current regulation that conflict with what the legislature is proposing to do here ought to be repealed, so that there's no confusion on the point. The statute would govern. Otherwise, I would think that the administration, the commissioner, would take a look at the regulations and decide whether there was any further need to amplify or modify what's in there in order to conform to what the legislature has put forth here.
Okay. Representative Finkelstein.
Mr. Chairman, you said they ought to be repealed, but isn't it in effect that they essentially are repealed?
They are repealed. I mean, right. As a practical matter, this will override the regulation.
Right. So by being here, we don't have to do anything. It just happens.
Well, that's what I wanted to try to clarify. Right. That was my understanding. Well, that's why we changed from our discussion yesterday. And I just wanted to get that out. But because what we're doing here is giving the commissioner the opportunity to adopt any regulations he so desires, but we're not mandating that he do anything. Is that correct? And then because there is a one section of existing regulations that would be overridden by this bill, then that would be negated anyway. So would that be correct, Mr. Chandler? Or
yes.
Commissioner, you have a comment on that?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't think that the regulations are totally overridden by this bill. I mean, they would stay in effect. So the application process, the public notice process, unless those regulations were absolutely repealed, would continue to be in effect. And any place, as I think Mr. Chenoweth has indicated, where the law conflicted with these regulations, we would go in and modify the regulations. You're not repealing these regulations
not
by this law.
Right. That's what my understanding was. I think we're okay there by being silent on that. And it's up to the commissioner if he wants to desires to modify them to go ahead and do the regulatory routine to process. So is this
right? I'm satisfied.
Yes. In that regard. Okay. Is there any other questions of general by the committee members?
Maybe we can, when we get down to discussing amendments to the work draft, maybe we can have them brought back.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you, sir. Hopefully we can get through. Make some progress right here so we can go to lunch.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Any other discussion at this point?
Well, are we ready?
I want to move the CS.
Ready for amendments?
Excuse me?
Are you ready for amendments?
Yeah, do we? Are we ready? Are we?
I thought we had some amendments.
Right, we do. Okay. Excuse me, I mean, that's what I mean. We are ready for amendments. What's the will of the body here? Representative Bryce.
Uh, on page 3, line 19. I would feel a little bit more comfortable if we made it very clear that when we're discussing who gets to pick pick from the list provided by the commissioner, that it's very clear that it's the lessee, not the commissioner himself. You know, maybe something and pay for the services of a contractor, comma, the lessee or lessees have selected from a list provided by the commissioner. Okay. Let me read it to you as I would like to see it.
Okay.
Section 7 would read, may require the lessee or lessees making application for the royalty reduction to retain and pay for the services of a contractor. The lessee or lessees have selected from a list provided by the commissioner to assist the commissioner in evaluating the application and financial and technical data.
So you're just adding in the lessees and lessors having selected from a list?
The lessee or lessees have, and then it'd be they have selected from a list provided by the commissioner. So it's explicit that they're the ones getting to do the choosing.
Okay, discussions on the amendment? Representative Davis.
I think that's redundant. You're adding lessee and lessee again.
Mm-hmm. I think it is redundant in the sense that we understand what the implication is of section seven. Okay. I think we want to be very clear. The folks making the application are the ones who get to choose from this list that the commissioner provides.
Representative.
Yeah, they're. Let me see.
See, it could be read that the commissioner can select a group of 3 or 4 contractors and then select one of those.
Mm-hmm.
It can be read that way.
And that might be a case that the commissioner of the department may even want some additional expertise in a specific area, and they may want to contract with someone so that this gives them that ability.
And
no, that's not, excuse me, that wasn't the intention of it.
They can do that anyway. So we don't have to put that in here. I understand what Bryce is trying to do, Representative Bryce is trying to do. I guess I'd like to hear from the commissioner and anyone else from the oil industry if they see that as a problematic problem, the way it's worded, because...
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Commissioner Shively, would you care to comment?
Mr. Chairman, I think Representative Bryce's language probably does clarify that it's the lessee or lessee that gets to select, so we do not have a problem with this suggested amendment, and that is the intent.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Oh, Mr. Chenoweth?
Would you let us change the language to read, after the comma on that line, selected by the lessee or lessees from a list provided by the commissioner?
That would probably be clear, yeah.
That's Mr. Bryce's amendment, is that correct?
That's it.
Any objections? So moved. Amendment number 1 has been adopted. Mr. Chenoweth, are you going to provide us with the written language there?
We will produce either a CS or amendments as you would instruct.
Yeah, okay. You're taking notes. Good. That's all I'm concerned about. Okay. Moving on. Representative Bright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chairwoman.
Okay.
On page 3, line 28, I think it would be nice if we scratched obtains the concurrence of the Attorney General and have the role of the AG become more of a of an oversight, I mean, as just through the process. So maybe language along the lines of Mr. Chenoweth might be able to help us here.
Well, do you have an amendment, Mr. Bryce? Or, wait a minute, excuse me. Representative Finkelstein, you want to interject here?
No, if, I was just going to offer specifically on what he's saying, but if he wants to offer, that's fine.
I'm just looking for something to put our teeth in here, Tom.
Let me give you some language. Okay. That's something that just off the top of my head, and we'll see what drafters says here. Okay, instead of obtains the concurrence of the Attorney General, we'll strike that and put in provides the Attorney General with a determination for review to ensure the process for making the determination was followed. And I'm by no means a lawyer, but I think what I would like to see clarified is that the AG is not making policy calls, but making process calls.
Okay, if I could, read it again?
Provides the AG with the determination for review to ensure the process for making the determination was followed.
Any discussion on the amendment? Representative Finkelstein.
Mr. Chair, I tend to think we ought to just get rid of the reference to the AG.
Well, yeah, there's some. There's some. Excuse me, Representative Bryce. We may be able to. If you want to hold your amendment in abeyance here for a moment, maybe we can talk about the overall issue and then get back to amendments.
Representative
Gary Davis, sir.
And I would respond to Mr. Bryce's concern about the process. I think in the findings, if there's any question about the process, isn't the AG automatically involved? If there's so.
Then let me amend my amendment and strike from page 3, line 25, through page 4, line 21.
Section 8.
Section 8, basically. I think if we go back to the idea where the commissioner makes the decision, it's a business decision on behalf of the state, we have precedent for those types of decisions being made in the Attorney General when he is negotiating tax settlements and that type of thing.
Object amendment.
One moment. Excuse me. Representative Bryce, I'm going to interject right here. Just why don't we talk about this whole oversight before we start, we act on your amendment, because what you're doing here is throwing the baby out with the bathwater if you want to leave the royalty board in here,
Mr. Chairman.
So, I mean, that's why don't we discuss that and get a sense of the committee before we
point
move
of order.
On. Representative, okay.
There's an amendment on it that's been moved, and I've objected.
Okay.
Now we get to discuss that.
Okay, we're
just
discussing.
What you were saying.
Right,
correct.
We're discussing. Right.
Correct. And Mr. Chairman?
Representative Bryce.
Regarding, you know, having the royalty board provide the oversight, it's, you know, I don't believe that, you know, they're the appropriate body, if there would be an appropriate body. I'm not very comfortable having oversight thrown of this type thrown to a board or commission. And that's the concern I have.
Okay, so on a straw poll basis type, you're against both the royalty board and the AG. Anybody else want to throw their 2 cents in here? Representative Gary Davis.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I agree with that. I think we, in testimony, we've tried to find some oversight. We've discussed all the logical oppositions or logical avenues, those that deal, those in that we pay for that deal with this issue. We've discussed all of them, and it's come down to the testimony, I think, has indicated that none of them that's not their job. That's not what they're selected to do. The technical aspects of what they would need to do
to properly evaluate the procedure, either the Royalty Board or the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. Neither one of those, it's been testified that they don't have the technical expertise to deal with that. So I, you know, from that standpoint, I tend to agree with the proposal Representative Bryce is putting forward.
Representative Davis.
From my standpoint, Mr. Chairman, I thought the Royalty Board would be the ideal group to use, but I know there are some people that's against that. However, if we're going to do anything, I would just advise that we probably just delete line 28 with the Attorney General on it and leave the Royalty Board there or whatever we decide to come up with. I think somebody needs to be there.
Well, the chairman hasn't done a previous nose count, so
we're counting noses.
Yeah, we're kind of counting noses. Gee, Bill's getting out of here now. Representative Finkelstein. Are you going for the coffee pot? You bring me a cup of coffee, Bill.
I like keeping the Royalty Oil Board and taking out the Attorney General.
So do I.
Okay, let me get this down here. Getting too fancy.
There's going to be seven different options.
But, well, there's not too many.
That's the same thing that I said.
This is, Shirley, is this the committee process and not?
This is.
He should ask Representative Bryce if he'll withdraw his motion.
I know that.
Take them one at a time.
Right.
Well,
we're trying to hear the. We're discussing this for purposes of formulation of an amendment, but I'd like to Representative Bryce to withdraw his amendment if he wouldn't mind. So.
So we can. Well. I started on the discussion of the AG to begin with, and we wanted that withdrawn. And
well, we're trying to find out how we're going to deal with this. Let's do one amendment and be done with it.
That's what I'm trying to do.
No, I think this is proper discussion. The motion is to delete both.
Right.
So if someone has a problem with the motion to delete both of them, I think the discussion is going in order.
Thank you, Chairman. Representative Davis. Mm-hmm. Representative Ogins has the floor.
I'd like to amend the amendment to split the question.
There's three different areas here.
Do the same thing.
Split it three ways.
Let's not get hung up procedurally right now. Bill, do you have anything to say? Representative Williams.
We come in here talking about how much regulatory problems we're having, and here we are putting more regulatory issues in a bill. I think that, and we did discuss this earlier on with the industry and industry people, and the administration both thought that didn't think that this was appropriate or would be very cumbersome. I have to agree with Representative.
Davis.
Oh, yeah.
Davis.
On this amendment, I think that deleting Section 8 is good, the amendment that is before us.
To remove both, right?
Yes.
Is that the amendment before us? Okay. Representative Finkelstein.
Mr. Chairman, just to expedite things, I think Representative Ogden's suggestion is a good one. This, usually the procedure is just divide the question, vote on the first half, vote on the second half, and then instead of having to amend the amendment or some broader procedure.
Well, I would, then we should split the amendment and vote on whether we want the AG in or out and then the other Royalty Board, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Just do okay. Mm-hmm. That was
the representative. And then we can make the appropriate fixes in. Representative Ogden.
That was the motion that I made was to split the question, right. and we should probably deal with that and then argue each question separately and vote them up or down and then go from there.
Mr.
Be the correct
Chairman.
Procedure, I believe.
Representative Betty Davis.
I thought the motion that was before us was to delete Section 8.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what is it to split?
A, B, and C.
I mean, but you
have the Attorney General or the Royalty Board or both. I mean, to get rid of the AG, get rid of the Royalty Board, or get rid of both.
His motion says to get rid of them both.
Excuse me, Laddie's here.
He said the whole section. I don't know what's
the
split.
The question is whether or not it's Ogden's motion now, whether to vote on splitting the question.
Right. You want to split the question? Yes or no? Let's split the question. Is there any opposition to splitting the question?
I don't think it's appropriate that it be split, but if that's the way you want to do it, that's fine with me.
What do you have?
The motion was to delete it, period, and I don't see anything to split.
Point of order.
Representative.
I made a motion to split the question, an amendment, a motion to amend his amendment to split the question, and that's what we should be doing right now.
And the amendment before us is the removal of all of Section 8. Is that correct? Right. Representative Finkelstein?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Representative Oga's motion is helpful because we will find as we go through 8, it, some people want to take out A, some want to take out B. I don't think anyone wants to take out C, which is just a transmittal thing. So when we get to that, we didn't need to take that out. So.
No, it's they're trying to cut it out.
Mr. Chairman?
Resident
I think a real quick solution is to move on Representative Bryce's motion and to entertain any other amendments after that.
Correct. Chairman, okay. Point of order. I have a motion on the table to split the question.
Object.
Nothing to split.
Vote on. There's objections. We'll vote. We'll vote. Okay, let's get on with it. Let's vote on Representative Ogun's motion to split. Go ahead and call the roll, Mr. Secretary.
Chairman Roper.
No.
Vice Chairman Ogun.
Yes.
Representative Gary Davis.
No.
Representative Williams.
No.
Representative Bryce.
No.
Representative Betty Davis.
No.
Representative Finkelstein.
Yes.
Okay, the motion before us then is for the removal of Section 8. And procedurally here, we can vote on this, and then we can go back and amend. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's... There's a motion before us to remove the entirety of Section 8, and is there any objections?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Would the Secretary take the roll call?
Chairman Roper?
No.
Vice Chairman Ogun?
Leaving it in? No.
Okay. I need a clarification.
Sure, at ease.
Yes, the lead no was to keep it in.
Okay. No.
Representative Gary Davis.
Yes.
Representative Williams.
Yes.
Representative Bryce.
Yes.
Representative Betty Davis.
No.
Representative Finkelstein.
No. Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Representative Finkelstein, the motion's failed.
Mr. Chairman, could I move just to delete the Attorney General line? All right, move to delete the A, so just B would become A, and
right.
C would become B.
Any discussion on this motion?
This leaves the royalty board in place and deletes the Attorney General.
Mm-hmm. Any discussion? Hearing no any objections? Are there no objections to this motion? Hearing no objections, the motion carries. Additional amendments or discussion? Representative Finkelstein.
Mr. Chairman, we have one. So this is to the floor and just says that the floor of 25% applies to all, as the commissioner suggested.
All right, would you move your motion, please?
I move the motion, Mr. Chairman.
Any objections?
Number three.
This is amendment number three, okay.
Number three, yes.
Any objections?
Object.
Discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Gary Davis.
Yeah, I object. I think, you know, we had discussion about Cook Inlet fields, and there are some, you know, you could pump $80 million, you could pump millions of dollars in those fields, and that's going to continue with jobs, it's going to continue with infrastructure, tax base, and the royalty, you know, to recover those dollars, it's marginal. They get down to a place where they're losing money, so they're going to cap them off. So then we lose everything. So if you allow for the zero, you still maintain the jobs, and it's still the discretion of the commissioner whether that is economically feasible thing to do. It's not a mandate. It just gives them that flexibility. So, you know, and that's the whole intent. The best interest of the state, is it the best interest of the state to cap oil fields that are pumping 2,000 barrels a day? And costing the oil companies money, where they're going to cap them, maybe not 2,000 barrels a day, 500 barrels a day, whatever.
So that's the argument. And I think that flexibility is very viable and very valuable and is in the best interest of the state. So I think I oppose the amendment from that standpoint.
Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the question is obviously we're trying to do what Representative Davis suggests, but is there some level which you get some very bottom line return to the state? Because these are going to be places where the ELF has already resulted in the severance tax going down to zero, and the royalty reduction here would be, let's say it started at 12.5, it'd be down to 3%. I mean, it's a pretty major reduction. Is there some little teeny bottom line bit that's going to go to the state out of this all? And I think that's a reasonable expectation. The we've got to remember, economic activity actually, you know, brings costs to the state as well. We provide public services, education. There's a variety of costs that go with this activity that we have to bear as a state, and some very, very bottom line level of return to the state, I think, is reasonable.
The chair would remind the representative from downtown Anchorage that economic activity creates jobs too, as well as burden. So that would be the intention, I think, of this type of thing, is to allow for the commissioner to develop a sliding scale royalty that accounted for very, very marginal fields in the future. I can think of a fact pattern whereas a platform in Cook Inlet could be producing from a pool of gas field, if you will, on an economic basis, paying its full royalty. And because the platform happens to be there, there may be an additional oil well from that platform that's extraordinarily marginal. And the case could be made where, I mean, it would be just as well to pump that thing, where there could be a decision where if you could get down to zero royalty, they could still pumping it, or if not, they would just shut it in. So, I mean, why not have the flexibility allowing the company to come to the commissioner and ask him for some relief in that circumstance? That's all we're trying to do here. So I'm going to vote against your amendment. Any other discussion?
I concur, Mr. Chairman.
Anything else? Question?
Mr. Chairman,
I don't like to belabor it, but I can certainly see where Representative Finkelstein is coming from. But even the modifiers in there to change, it may be zero now, but after then, recovery of investment dollars. I can see, with all this flexibility, I just don't see a problem with the zero. You know, it may be zero for a couple of years or until production gets up to a certain level, if what they hope to add to the facilities, does create increase in productivity, then I'm sure the modifier would kick in. So with all this flexibility in the negotiations, I just don't see the need.
Any further discussion? Would the Secretary read the roll?
Chairman Roper?
No.
Vice Chairman Owens?
No.
Representative Gary Davis?
No.
Representative Williams?
No.
Representative Bryce?
No.
Representative Davis?
No.
Representative Finkelstein?
Yes.
Representative Finkelstein?
What's the timing today? Do we have any time schedule later? Minority caucus that was at 11:30. I've got 3 more amendments myself. And
the chair desires to move the bill today if we can. Is there other burning amendments or recommendations?
Tell them to pass them out so we can.
I'm hungry.
We can get through.
Let's rock and roll if you guys. We got this. We got to move this bill.
Minority can get up and leave.
That's right. You can go.
So can you.
No problem.
You can stay. I mean, you're certainly welcome.
Yeah.
If we don't.
I won't if you pass it. That's a problem.
And we'll change it on the
just
okay, let's see. We got...
I can describe this.
Why don't you go ahead and we can mark them for numbering.
The next one is the one that says page 3, not line 19 to 20.
That would be amendment number 4.
Right. And basically the intention of this is just to say that the contractor is an employee of the state, not an employee of the oil company. In either circumstance, the company is going to pay for the contractor. It's just a question of who oversees their work, and I don't want to redebate it because I have brought it up a number of times, but it's the logic is just this is how we do business in the state of Alaska. I still haven't heard of a circumstance where we take and turn over our authority to hire experts to help us and make them employees of the regulated entity. These folks ought to be there working for the state and providing determinations necessary for a state decision that's the best interest of the state, and that they shouldn't have as their supervisor and hiring authority and firing authority the company that's regulated. These things operate at very subtle levels, and if your paycheck comes from someone and you're, even though the various criteria you're working under come from the state, you get quite affected by who pays your bills.
Well, it's the chair's observation that we've already tilled this ground in the form of Representative Bryce's amendment. So unless there's any other comments on this, we prepare for a vote. Any other comments? Would the secretary read the roll?
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, you have a comment? Excuse me, Representative.
I'm sorry, I missed it. Did Representative Finkelstein move the motion?
Yes.
I would move the motion.
Oh, excuse me.
I object.
You object? Would the secretary read the roll?
Representative Finkelstein.
Yes.
Representative Betty Davis.
Yes.
Representative Bryce.
No.
Representative Williams.
No.
Representative Gary Davis.
No.
Vice Chairman Odie.
No.
Chairman Roper.
No. Representative Finkelstein, recognizing you for Amendment Number 5.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's page 2, line 30, and this I just discussed previously with the Commissioner. The idea is a performance criteria. Even though the Commissioner apparently has the authority to bring these concepts up, this would require that if the royalty reduction doesn't work, if there is not any significant development within 5 years, then the royalty reduction is terminated. It's just a performance incentive, if nothing else. Certainly, we wouldn't want to be granting these royalty reductions to in circumstances where it's just a speculative advantage, increasing the value of the lease, if nothing else. We want it to produce activity, not to increase the value of the lease.
You want to move this for the record?
Mr. Chair, I'd move it.
Resident Finkelstein, if you allow me.